As we reflect on our lives, on the song that we just heard, the announcements, Passover, the days of unleavened bread, let us do so with a better understanding. Why is it so important to examine our lives prior to Passover? Why is it so important to set the right example? During Passover, we read 1 Peter 2, 19 through 25. Turn with me. 1 Peter 2, verse 19. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. I want to look at verse 21 first. It says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. It is very important that we set the right example. And we can do so by following in the steps of Jesus. And I want you to pay close attention to verse 25 as well. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus Christ is the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. Not only is he our redeemer, but he is the only one by which we can be saved. Let us thank God that he truly lives and is worthy to be praised continually. I have seen something very troubling to me. It seems to me that some of the people of God have begun to take a lackadaisical approach towards sin. For I myself have heard people in God's church say to me, "What is the big deal? You just want to judge me." If I may tell you the truth is, I just want to warn you. I just want to warn you that your actions warrant the death penalty. Romans 6:23 states, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We must thoroughly examine our lives and repent as needed. Repent, change, reform, live according to Jesus Christ. So why is it so important to set the right example? We have heard the evidence of God's almighty, abundant glory, as Mr. Gross states during the tape program announcements, that there's a work being done in India, which we had nothing to do with, and we didn't. But Almighty God did. And I suspect that he is working in other places around this world as well. Let's go to Romans 10, Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses describes in this way, the righteousness that is by the law, the man who does these things will live by them. But the righteous that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and you are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to disobedient and obstinate people. Now we look at verse 20 very carefully. Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. And I think that's what's happening now. God has sent people to us for guidance. And it is very important that we set the right example. When God sends his children, as they are babes in Christ, into our care, they want to be a part of us. We are to welcome them and teach them everything that God has taught us. It's very important that we set the right example. Verse 21 is deep as well. It says, but concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to disobedient and obstinate people. There are a lot of people who you can talk to along the way who've heard about God. This nation itself considers itself God's people. And yet, they are disobedient and obstinate. People who do not care to learn what God has to teach. they are rejecting. And we must pay attention closely to those who are accepting God. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 65 so we can look at that quote from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 65, beginning in verse 1. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here am I, here am I. All day long I held out my hands to obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations. A people who continually provoke me to my very face, offering sacrifices in gardens and burning incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend their nights keeping secret vigil, who eat the flesh of pigs, and whose pots hold broth of unclean meat, who say, keep away, don't come near me, for I am too sacred for you. Such people are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that keeps burning all day. See, it stands written before me. I will not keep silent, but will pay back in full. I will pay it back in their laps, both your sins and the sins of your fathers, says the Lord, because they burned sacrifices on the mountains and defiled me on the hills. I will measure into their laps the full payment of their former deeds. This is what the Lord says. As when juice is still found in a cluster of grapes, and men say, don't destroy it, there is yet some good in it. So will I do in behalf of my servants. I will not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, those who will possess my mountains. My chosen people will inherit them, and there will be my servants. And there will my servants live. Sharon will become a pasture for flocks, and the valley of Achor a resting place for herds, for my people who seek me, the people who are seeking God. But as for you who forsake the Lord and forget my holy mountain, who spread a table for fortune and fill bowls of mixed wine for destiny, I will destine you for the sword, and you will all bend down for the slaughter. For I called, but you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not listen. You did evil in my sight and chose what displeases me. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My servants will eat, but you will go hungry. My servants will drink, but you will go thirsty. My servants will rejoice, but you will be put to shame. My servants will sing out of the joy of their hearts, but you will cry out from anguish of heart and wail in brokenness of spirit. You will leave your name to my chosen ones as a curse. The sovereign Lord will put you to death. But to his servants he will give another name. Whoever invokes a blessing in the land will do so by the God of truth. He who takes an oath in the land will swear by the God of truth. For the past troubles will be forgotten and hidden from my eyes. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. But dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. I know we are looking forward to these days and times, very much so. And as we see what is happening, we understand that Almighty God is still working. He's still busy. He's still gathering people into His flock that He has reserved this time for. Brethren, now that we have been redeemed, we find ourselves at the next step. Remember, we always start off God's seasonal year with Passover. We start by examining our lives. We repent and change our ways. We receive redemption. And now, as we look forward to Pentecost, we must meditate on God. So how do we meditate? And how do we replace sin with Jesus Christ? Turn with me to Psalm 119. Verse 1. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in His ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. And we are beginning to understand just how precise Almighty God is. When He gives instructions, He expects them to be followed just as He has given them. Think about it for a moment when He gave the instructions to Noah to build the ark. It was very important that Noah did everything just as God told him to. Everything must be done as God tells us to do it. And we must follow God's way just as He has given it to us. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame. When I consider all your commands, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice and fall on your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Do good to your servant, and I will live. I will obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your command from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are accursed and stray from your commands. Remove from me scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I recounted my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Let me understand the teaching of your precepts. Then I will meditate on your wonders. Now, verse 26 tells us that an examination process was taking place here. I recounted my ways, and you answered me. This is what we must do. This is what comes through meditation on God. We're able to understand and follow and cling to His very promises. I recounted my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Let me understand the teaching of your precepts. Then I will meditate on your wonders. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. And verse 29 is very, very important. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me through your law. I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, O Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then will I keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. I know all of us are really, really trying to get to this point, to be able to obey God's law with all our heart, as God gives us a greater understanding on what He is expecting of us. I'll share something with you. I know that the Bible says that we should pray for our enemies. And God has taught me something this year that I want to share with you. He has brought me to the next step. Not only am I learning to pray for my enemies, I'm learning what to pray. I'm learning that my prayer for my enemies is not to see them punished, but to see them repent. My prayer for my enemies is that they overcome, just as we are striving to overcome. And what would be sweet revenge for me, if I can use that term, would be to see them in God's kingdom. That's what I hope for my enemies. God is teaching us to remove hate from us. Remember, that's what Satan had. That's what filled Satan's heart. He hated God so much so that he wanted to be God. So as I'm praying for my enemies, I'm understanding just what it is that I'm asking God to do for them. Share with them what He is sharing with us, so they too may come to know God and understand what we understand. Verse 35, direct me in the paths of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in your righteousness. May your unfailing love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then will I answer the one who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame. For I delight in your commands because I love them. I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love, and I meditate on your decrees. And I know that for me, I was born into the Church of God 37 years ago. I know all of God's commands. I know all of His statutes. I know His holy days. And I am delighted to look forward to them. They have so much meaning to me. So much promise that we are waiting to receive. That's all I know. And when we're down and we're out and things seem to be getting the best of us, I draw on these promises. I draw on His statutes. I draw on his laws and I meditate on it. And that keeps me from sinning. It keeps me on that path that God has placed us along, so that we may overcome and receive that blessing at the end. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. That's what I'm talking about. God's promise to you and to me is what preserves our life, is what keeps us going. It's what enables us to turn the other cheek, so to speak, when we're faced with people out there who wish to do us no good, but to cause us to err or sin. We draw on the promises. Your promise preserves my life. The arrogant mock me without restraint, but I do not turn from your law. I remember your ancient laws, O Lord, and I find comfort in them. Indignation grips me because of the wicked, who have forsaken your law. Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. In the night I remember your name, O Lord, and I will keep your law. This has been my practice. I obey your precepts. You are my portion, O Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Again, David, who has been given the credit for this beautiful psalm, has considered his ways. Again, he's examining his ways. He's turning his steps to the Lord. He's not waiting for tomorrow to do that. I know that many of us facing problems that we know we have to overcome, I'm going to start tomorrow. I'm going to work on that. But how long will we start tomorrow? And how long will we be working on that? David says, I will hasten and not delay. I will start right now to obey your commands. Though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law. At midnight I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. The earth is filled with your love, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. And again, as God has sent these people from India to us, we're reaching out to them as friends. They are our friends because they fear God. They are our friends because they are seeking to follow his precepts. And the earth is filled with your love, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. And everything we have, we are going to pass on to them. Do good to your servant according to your word, O Lord. Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I believe in your commands. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Though the arrogant have smeared me with lies, I keep your precepts with all my heart. Their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. What a wonderful statement. As we are suffering, and many of us do and will suffer, we need to be meditating on God's word so that we may learn what it is he would have for us to know, so that we can go to the next step, so that we can learn and overcome. But the law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Almighty God's law, his statutes, and his commands mean so much to you and to me. It can't be bought with silver and gold. The price of gas can go up, but we still cling to Almighty God's laws, His statutes, His promises. We still believe that Jesus Christ is going to return and give us the ultimate redemption as we are changed. And we realize our ultimate destiny, to be in the family of God. We're clinging on to that. That can't be bought with silver or gold. And certainly what God has for us is more precious than that. Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands. May those who fear you rejoice when they see me. For I have put my hope in your word. I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteous, and in faithfulness you have afflicted me. May your unfailing love be my comfort, according to your promise to your servant. Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be put to shame for wronging me without cause. But I will meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me. Those who understand your statutes, may my heart be blameless toward your decrees, that I will not be put to shame. My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. My eyes fail looking for your promise. I say, when will you comfort me? Though I am like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your decrees. How long must your servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? The arrogant dig pitfalls for me, contrary to your law. And we are dealing with this constantly. The arrogant have no regard for what is precious to us. We've talked about, each time I've been here, people having Sabbath troubles and things of that nature. And yet, it's not that they gain anything by doing it, only that they would be able to say, I thought that was a Sabbath keeper. I was able to make him break the Sabbath. Because they could care less about anything else. They could care less. They just want to keep us from doing what God has commanded us to do. And we must stay faithful to His commands. All your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for men persecute me without cause. They almost wipe me from the earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. Preserve my life according to your love, and I will obey the statutes of your mouth. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You established the earth, and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I ponder your statutes. To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. I hate the double-minded men, but I love your law. You are my refuge and my shield. My hope in your word. You and I have put our hope in Almighty God's word as well. Everything that we do is because we believe the very words of this Bible. We believe the very words that Jesus Christ gave us. We believe in his promises. We believe in the Sabbath and the holy days and his commandments. And we will never stray from them. I have put my hope in your word. Away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. Don't let people fool you and say that, after all, we're serving the same God. We're not all serving the same God. Our God is a mighty God. He's an awesome God who has set forth precepts, statutes, and laws that must be followed. He's not some God that changes the rules along the way. The Sabbath from Sabbath to Sunday. It's not the type of God we are serving. We are serving the type of God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what he's expecting us to be, holding fast to his words. Sustain me according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Uphold me, and I will be delivered. I will always have regard for your decrees. You reject all who stray from your decrees, for their deceitfulness is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore I love your statutes. My flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your laws. I have done what is righteous and just. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Ensure your servant's well-being. Let not the arrogant oppress me. My eyes fail looking for your salvation. Looking for your promise, for your righteous promise. And I think sometimes our eyes do that as well. We're keeping our eyes open. We're witnessing, we're warning, we're looking for the very return of Jesus Christ. We're looking for the day of our salvation, the day when we can be changed. Deal with your servant according to your love, and teach me your decrees. I am your servant. Give me discernment. And we all need discernment as we are dealing with the world. We don't always come in contact with people who have our best interests at heart. Things are said and things are done, and we definitely need God to give us discernment so that we can make it through that. I am your servant. Give me discernment, that I may understand your statutes. It is time for you to act, O Lord. Your law is being broken. And we are witnessing that right now in America. I want to pause for a moment and share with you some articles. God's laws are being broken. And these laws that are being broken tear apart your heart and mine as well. It says, former judge, decorated veteran, is sent to prison as a pedophile. Stephen Thompson, a former state judge and Vietnam War veteran, was sentenced to 10 years for having sex with an underage boy in Russia, an act he recorded on videotape. Why are our children being treated so wrong? Are people not understanding what God has said in regards to the children? The children are the future. We are to train them up in the way that they should go. In the end, they will return to it. We are to protect them. We are to guide them. We are to direct them. We certainly are not to allow them to be abused. That's one article. The one that is most troubling to me deals with a multimillionaire from Pennsylvania. Mancuso is the Pittsburgh millionaire who adopted a 5-year-old girl from a Russian orphanage so she could be his pre-pubescent bride. She suffered 5 years of abuse along with enduring a wedding ceremony with her adopted father until 2003, when the FBI found pornographic pictures of her he was posting on the internet. And this is what really tears me apart. Marsha Allen, now 13, lives in Georgia with a new mom. She says, why the federal government was paying money to treat her abuser instead of helping her. She said, why aren't they doing something for me? What kind of country spends more money to rehab the person than they do to rehab the victim? And these are her very own words. It's very saddening. And yes, it is time for you to act, O Lord. Your law is being broken. Because I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold, and because I consider your precepts right, I hate every wrong path. That's why we hate these types of things when we hear about them. Your statutes are wonderful. Therefore, I obey them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from the oppression of men, that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. Righteous are you, O Lord, and your laws are right. The statutes you have laid down are righteous. They are fully trustworthy. My zeal wears me out, for my enemies ignore your words. Your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. Though I am lowly and despised, I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is everlasting, and your law is true. Trouble and distress have come on me, but your commands are my delight. Your statutes are forever right. Give me understanding that I may live. I call with all my heart, answer me, O Lord, and I will obey your decrees. I call out to you, save me, and I will keep your statutes. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. Hear my voice in accordance with your love. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your laws. Those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law. Yet you are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true. Long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever. Look upon my suffering and deliver me, for I have not forgotten your law. Defend my cause and redeem me. Preserve my life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek out your decrees. Your compassion is great, O Lord. Preserve my life according to your laws. Many are the foes who persecute me, but I have not turned from your statutes. I look on the faithless with loathing, for they do not obey your word. See how I love your precepts. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your love. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. Rulers persecute me without cause, but my heart trembles at your word. I rejoice in your promise, like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous laws. Great peace have they who have your law, and nothing can make them stumble. I wait for your salvation, O Lord, and I follow your commands. I obey your statutes, for I love them greatly. I obey your precepts and your statutes, for all my ways are known to you. May my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. May my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your promise. May my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. May my tongue sing of your word, for all your commands are righteous. May your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let me live that I may praise you and make your law sustain me. I have strayed like a sheep. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. Brethren, we have examined our lives. We have repented, and we are changing. Jesus Christ has shed his own blood for us. He has purchased us all in this process, and by his wounds, we are healed. We took an oath during Passover by eating the bread, which is his body broken for our sins. We drank the wine, which is the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who died in our place. We have his precious promise of salvation. And as we look forward to Pentecost and the receiving of the spiritual gifts from God, let us meditate on his laws, his statutes, and commands, so that when we are found by those whom God is leading to us for guidance, we can set the right example. May we continue to learn to obey God as we patiently await the glorious return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us continue to go over Psalm 119 as we learn to meditate on all the beautiful promises and precepts that have been set before us.